great to be with everyone tonight. This is our Tuesday night celebration of life. I'm going to leave this off of mute so that you can participate. Please do your best to get your assessment available. Go to augmandino.com, the website on the top right-hand side. Just click to log in. And when you log in, you'll be at your assessment results. We're going to want to reference those this evening as we go through this process. We take the opportunity on Tuesday night to go through each of the six qualities of an intentional creator in a sequential order. We start with connection with people, and then we move to mental creation, which is using our mind constructively to ignite our passion. Then we move to physical creation, where we go into passion-driven action. Last week, we took on discipline and structure, all the rules, regulations, policies, procedures, scheduling, sticking to the schedule, all those kinds of issues in discipline and structure. And tonight, we move to joy in the journey. Next week, we'll go to self-esteem, and then we'll start all over again. The plan being that each time we go through this, we want to talk about it a little bit differently. If you haven't taken an assessment in say, 3 to 4 months, you may want to take a new one for our session next week. But let's turn to joy in the journey. It's on the right-hand side of our assessment. It's in our internal world. This measures the dialogue we have with ourselves about our life. How do we feel about how we're fitting into reality, tangible reality? What's going on for us? This is mostly impacted by mental creation, the expectations that we create. If you look at the bottom right-hand side of your assessment, take a look at self-direction. Are we coming when we wake in the morning? Are we focused on being self-directed, doing things because we want to and get to and choose to? Do we have realistic expectations for our own personal performance that's honorable? Are we perfection-driven and goal-oriented? Our vivid visualization, are we using it constructively to mentally rehearse and seek inspiration and explore and problem-solve and plan and goal-set so that we can ignite our passion? Coachable, are we open to new ideas, or are we just a tad bit stubborn, stuck to the way we've been thinking? Pragmatic, do we have a realistic expectation of time and energy that's going to be required to create our dreams? And lastly, resolute, are we committed to a direction in our life? Do we have a sense of direction in terms of relationships and our profession, our career? What happens here impacts this next segment, the segment we're going to talk about tonight, joy in the journey. There are six measurements. I want to spend just a little bit of time in each one of them. So pull out your assessment. Let's take a look and see what's happening in your assessment. We're going to start with the measurement grateful. Now, we use this word grateful. I'm going to give you some other words to focus on. When this turns orange, and some of you on this call have an orange grateful, or even red, it just means that we're starting to get a little disappointed, and the disappointment comes from the following. Our mind has one view of how our life should be. If you look down at your assessment and honorable, goal-oriented, pragmatic, any of those measurements are orange or red, just know we're at a high risk to create unrealistic expectations for how life ought to be turning out. Now, we bring those expectations into the real world. Here's the real world. And the question is, how is our life stacking up to those expectations? That's really the question. How is our life stacking up to those expectations? To be grateful, it means to be present in the here and now and find personal satisfaction, keyword, fulfillment, and joy in all that I do. We enjoy our life. We like this. This turns orange. Some people said to me, well, Dave, I'm grateful. And I say, yes, you are. When you're back here sitting in the observer's chair, yes, I'm grateful. But are there ever times when this unhealthy habit of thinking wants us to question our life? Sometimes a dialogue will sound something like this. By now, I thought I would be, and just answer the question if you've ever thought that, further ahead, happier. By now I thought it would be, life would be easier. If we're ever going, it'll help explain this measurement and why it might be orange or red. Now we can step back from this and choose to reflect on our life and see all the good things, to take our clay and create the most we can with it. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. These are our options. Or we can get tangled up in this frustration with life. This is one of the primary causes of self-esteem challenges, when we have an expectation that is unmet. I'm going to give you one other measurement where this could be happening. Then we turn inward and say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And we start beating ourselves up. So just take a look. This would be an important measurement when we start talking about owning our clay tonight, that we take a look at life just a little differently. Because the risk is that we're holding reality, what's real, hostage to what exists only in our mind. Now, that doesn't mean if we have a big house in our mind that there aren't big houses. It's just not real in our life. What is real is what we wake up to every day. And if we keep holding it hostage to a measuring rod that exists only in our mind, we're going to relegate ourselves to a life of frustration, overwhelm, resistance, resentment, anger. So just take a look at this, and we'll get to clay here in a few moments. The other one that's typically associated with grateful is realistic. It's the fourth measurement on your assessment. Realistic. Now, realistic's an interesting piece, because when we're dealing with being realistic, the question is, how are we managing our expectations? How are we managing them? Now, gratefulness says I'm not happy if it's out of order. However, if this measurement realistic is orange, it's going to suggest that maybe we're not managing it well, that something is causing us some frustration. Now, it can go one of two ways. Most of the time, it goes in what I call an over-focused direction. That means we're a little disillusioned. We're disillusioned. The disillusionment comes from the following. Our mind has already seen us in a better place. We're now in tangible reality, and the conflict between what is and where our mind has seen us, and the fact that to get there we must now create the bridge between present reality and where we'd like to be, we'll want to build the bridge so we can actually, in the tangible reality, live where our expectations would like us to be. And we cannot figure out how to build the bridge. We just can't figure it out. This creates disillusionment. It's a source of frustration for the present. We can also, on the other hand, become resigned. We start expecting less of ourselves than we're capable of doing, because we just don't want to be hurt. So just take a look and see if either grateful or realistic are orange or red. Again, this isn't about being broken, because you and I are looking at these measurements. The real you, we're looking at the unhealthy habit of thinking. Just ask yourself, how often do I find myself trapped in ugh, is not showing up the way I'd like it to, and ugh, I don't know how to build the bridge to get to where I'd like to be. Now, when those measurements are present, we see some other pieces in here. Persistent, the second measurement. Persistent is about recognition and compensation. We're doing in our life, and how well do we do it? Are we recognized for what we do? Are we paid well for what we do? On one hand, we can start to feel undervalued, that what we're doing really isn't of value, or that no one's noticing. On the other hand is, that we are seeking that recognition and or that money. Most commonly, when I see orange in this measurement persistent, and I explore it with a client one-on-one, and we get a chance to talk about it, we may deny if somebody would like to, we find that someone is just a little preoccupied with money, the need for money. There's nothing wrong with that. It just says, wow, there might be some financial challenges that we're facing. And we really need to get these problems solved. The challenge is this. Rarely do we make it focusing on it. Because most of the time, we make the money by serving people, by doing work for them, providing benefit to them. If our focus is on money, the way in which we approach them, the way we talk about it, can actually have them pull back from us instead of being attracted to us. So just know if that's our focus, we're going to want to borrow from Zig Ziglar, paraphrasing Zig, if we can help enough other people get what they want, we'll get what we want. So we want to shift our focus back to the service of others. That's persistent. Now, managing your time, this measurement effective, this third measurement, I call it managing your time. How well are we managing our time? Because if we have an expectation, here we are sitting in reality, linear time. And it's so important I use the word linear time because we live in linear time. Tick, 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 tick. 60 ticks makes a minute. 60 minutes makes an hour. 24 hours makes a day. 7 days makes a week. We live in linear time. And everybody functions in it. People that we're depending on wake up in linear time, and maybe they don't feel well today, or they feel like taking a vacation, or they get in a fight with us with their companion, and they don't show up to work on time. We're dealing with all of these human factors in linear time. And here's the challenge with the measurement. Our mind has already seen it. We created a Learjet in a nanosecond. Went to the Caribbean. Went to France. Went to Hawaii. And back in the time it takes to shower. In our mind, everything is instant. Everybody does what they're supposed to. As I wrote in the book, babies don't poop. And everybody drives courteously. In our mind. In tangible reality, it's nothing like that. And here we are, human beings, in linear time, trying to figure out how to get that which is in our mind created today. Can you imagine the frenetic energy and frenetic, what it means is like a dog chasing its tail, the chicken with his head cut off. Frenetic, non-goal-directed activity. We are all over the place trying to figure this out. We're just going a million miles an hour in a million different directions. Busy, busy, busy. Exhausted. At the end of the day, we're not sure what we accomplished. We're just frustrated. When that measurement starts to turn orange and red, just ask yourself, how much is on your plate? How busy are you? Because success has very little to do with being busy. It has everything to do with intentionally creating the next millimeter between here and our dream. However, if we've used our mind destructively, we are already living in our dream. We're already there. We've already been planning what it's going to be like, and we've already moved into the houses, and we're, whatever it might be. We're already there. We are. Our debts are already paid off. We feel that peace of mind. And now we're sitting here in reality terribly frustrated because there's such inconsistency. And so we just go into this everywhere, all over the place, busy, busyness. So if you feel that in your life, I just wanted to explain that so you can feel the source. It's a natural reaction to the chemical reaction in the body. When an expectation is unmet, it's a natural physiological reaction in the body. That cortisol, those pheochromocytes, and we're just everywhere. diligent, the fifth measurement down. Diligent is about handling obstacles. We all are going to face them. When we're sitting here in reality, part of reality is obstacles. It's just part of the deal. Now, in our mind, we're past all those obstacles. In our mind, we're miles ahead. Here, we're washing windows and taking out the trash. There, we're living in a mansion, metaphorically speaking. This is a challenge. Now, what do we do? So the question is, how well do we handle obstacles in tangible reality? There's a couple things that can happen. We can either allow them to continue and have them impact our productivity, because we're just ignoring them. Or we can actually start to blame them and say, that's the reason why. That's why I'm not there. When in fact, the reason why we're not there is that we're not taking the actions necessary to get there. We're not taking on the challenges and overcoming them. We're letting them drag us down or blaming them for it. So if your measurement in diligent is orange, don't be offended by what I've said. Just go, wow, how often when something happens I point some direction versus just taking total accountability and being determined to create the result. Oh, this is so hard for so many of us. So many of us. I have measurements in my mental creation that cause me to create vivid visualization. I have to be hyper-vigilant not to go into fantasy. It is so easy. If I am not consciously watching it, that's where it goes. And these kinds of measurements, for anybody else who has goal-oriented, orange or red, or honorable or pragmatic, you know what I speak. Now we just step back from this and we begin to manage it more effectively. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Some of the principles and practices that we're going to want to put into place. The last one is vigilant. Vigilant is about finding value in our life. Do we feel like we have found our life's mission and purpose? Do we feel like we're on our mission and purpose? Or do we feel like we just are floundering? This measurement turns orange. We're not there. We're not feeling grounded in what we're doing. We'll talk a little bit about that one tonight as well. Now, before I go into these principles and practices, does anybody have a question about any of these six measurements or other ones related to it, enjoying the journey? Any questions that I can address? Okay.
Hi, Dave. It's Drummond.
Hi. Hello, Drummond.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always wonderful when you're on the phone with us.
Well, thank you. I wanted to ask about the grateful one. the first one, enjoy in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
What would predominate? I mean, mine's orange, which means it says frequently your thoughts may attempt to distract you. You know, I find that I do a lot of gratitude, you know, thinking or whatever. So I'm a little baffled by that as to what that would mean. Does it mean that my day to day, if I get exasperated or something, that takes me away from the thinking about gratitude? Or
can we have some fun with this? Would that be okay?
You know, I'm always
is your business growing as fast as you would like it to grow?
No. That could be said almost, you know, I suppose. Well, not at this moment. No, it isn't.
Yeah. Let's take that simple concept. What is real? Where you'd like it to be or where it is?
Where it is.
This measurement's going to ask, when you're thinking of your business, are you focused on where it is, or are you focused on where you'd like it to be? Because let me share with you one of the risks. If we embrace the true reality of where we are, and we don't waste a moment wishing it were different, or being a little frustrated when it's not, or even frustrated with someone who said they would and didn't, or promised and didn't show up, you know, all those kinds of things that can happen in your profession. If we let all that energy go, which is all expectation, and all we did was deal with what is, and we take that and we focus on moving it forward 1 millimeter. That's all we do. We never look up and beyond and go, dang it. You know, by now I thought I would be this level or this income level, or, you know, we let all that go. Because we'll only get there if we take what we have and we do everything in our power. This is when we talk about owning our clay. That's owning our business where it is today. That would be part of our clay. Just be a piece of it. But we take the business, we own it exactly where it is. We get honest about where everyone is who's in the business with us. We step into their world. We find out what's important to them. We start spending our time, and I know you do this, Drummond, because this is just a thought process. You're back here a lot of the time. What I mean by back here, looking at this, overriding it. But the fact we have to override it says that it's present. Because if it wasn't, right, it wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't even be an issue.
Right.
We would be totally present in stepping into someone's world and inspiring them. We wouldn't miss opportunities that we can miss when we've got a little of this angst going on, a little of this frustration going on. Because any time we feel it, it's the result of an expectation that was just unmet. So we use the process of mental rehearsal. We've talked about this in our coaching session, where we think about the next meeting you're going to be holding, and instead of going beyond who's going to show up, the only people that are going to show up are those or come are those who actually do show up. And we spend all of our time in mental rehearsal seeking inspiration about how we can assist those we've invited to actually be there. And whoever comes, we're so grateful that they come instead of frustrated with the ones who didn't. Now, I'm speaking to everyone now for a moment, Drummond, because several are in your profession. And when this measurement is orange and red, particularly red, in the scenario I just developed, we can invite 10 people to a meeting and 2 show up. We can be so frustrated with the 8 who didn't, we may not be fully present for the 2 who did, who kept their commitment, who came for discovery. We may miss an opportunity. Partially, and again, Drummond, this isn't directed at you, it's for everyone, because we've already had the 10 show up in our mind, and 5 of them already bought, and they brought 3 friends the next week, and we're at 15, and then 25 and 1,000, and we're buying new carpet and cars and out of debt. Instead of doing everything we can between here and there, and then whoever comes, that's wonderful. Let's take them and nurture and bless their lives. Now, if we're conscious, we can actually do that. And I know you do. If we're not, this thought process can show up and taint our effectiveness because we're disappointed. So for you, I just said, is there a difference between where you'd like your business to be and where it is? And I'm saying, why is there a difference? Because it is where it is. This is what is. For everybody on the phone, whatever that is in terms of a relationship, in terms of a debt load, in terms of a business, whatever it might be, that what is. And it doesn't, we're not giving up or giving in by embracing it. It's just that we can't create from a house of cards. We must build from a solid foundation of reality. Our focus isn't to give up and go, oh, crap. Our focus is to take the clay and then create the most we can with it. Because our focus is on taking what is to the next level. And that's how we create the business that lasts, that brings the joy that we're looking for. That's the shift. Now, I went a little bit beyond your question because I know there are a lot of people with this measurement orange. Does that help, Dahl Drummond, for you? Does that help you?
Yeah, it sure does. I think that's the key, and it's obviously a good question to get out there in the whole group, because it's something that's very common, you know, to think about the presence with a little too much imagination, if you will, as to where you want it to be, and get stuck in that, which is more fantasy than differentiate that to mental creation of rehearsing where you want it to be, and then get back to the reality of where it is and start taking the little steps to move it forward from here.
Celebrating each victory.
Mm-hmm.
And not taking our mind or our desires any further. We may have a goal. The goal, Og says, I'll ignore the obstacles at my feet. I'll keep my eye on the goal above my head, for where dry desert ends, green grass grows. We do want to have absolute vision-driven goals. This is where I want to be. Now we come back to the steps. And some of those steps we cannot assign time to when people are involved. We realize this is going to take this many people or this much volume, and then we do everything in our power to create that as fast as it can be created. And we're focused on the right thing, taking the ball and moving it forward instead of frustration that it's not moving as fast as our mind is, or our desires, or our wishes, or our dreams. Because then we're always playing behind. We're always looking behind at reality and wanting it to catch up with us. Well, it has a hard time catching up without us being focused on it. That's where we want to be focused, on what is and moving it forward.
Right.
Do you know how many people have goal-oriented orange in your profession?
Oh, God, I got goal-oriented red. I'm sure there's tons, though.
97%. Red or orange, 97%. It's that
That's
high.
Astonishing.
Grateful, orange or red, 94%.
Really?
This is a challenge. This is a huge challenge because it's killing people. Because we're spending so much valuable energy in frustration for what isn't, instead of spending it on what is and creating something exciting with it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're always looking back, angry that reality's not keeping up with us. When we'll want to go back, straddle reality, and ride it forward.
So, if
it's
I
an easy profession to get. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, so what I hear you saying is that in the sales in general profession, those two qualities, grateful and the joy of the journey, and goal-oriented and mental creation, are inordinately high in the orange and red category. And so the solution, the antithesis of that, is the solution is staying away from, making your goals, of course, making them specific and, you know, realistic, et cetera, but then almost forgetting those and getting back to what is right on your plate, and simply rejoicing in dealing with that on a day-to-day. It's like enjoy the journey, forget about the goal, the end result, right?
Yes, with this caveat, that our risk in your profession, and for those who are on the phone, that's network marketing, the risk is to live in the future instead of living in the present. Our goal in network marketing, 97% of the time, becomes a daily destination instead of a target. Instead of that's where we're headed, that's where we live. And we're frustrated that reality's not keeping up. We're living in the wrong place. We want to live in the here and now, because this is where we create the business. We use our mind constructively to set the goal so we know where we're headed and how we're going to get there. We use our mind constructively to see the next piece in the road and start thinking about what we can do to show up more effectively. We seek inspiration so that we can find people who are searching and could be served by what you have. We use exploration to explore possibilities without making tangible commitments to minimize mistakes. We use our mind constructively. And one of those is to go into the future, way into the future, and create a goal. Might be a year out, 5 years out, 20 years out, and we see it so clearly, but we don't spend our time there. We only go there long enough to get clear on what's possible and why we want it. And boy, it lights us up. And we come back here and we work tirelessly without counting the cost or tracking the time, doing whatever is required to create intangible reality what we've seen so clearly in our mind. We get it backwards when we go into the future and then we start living beyond it, and we have to keep stopping and coming back here by this interruption called reality. This stops, it doesn't show up the way we want it to, so we're constantly in frustration. This pattern, Drummond, of goal-oriented, honorable, pragmatic, this mental creation, one or all of those being out of balance, creates a challenge in joy in the journey, a grateful, persistent, or realistic, which in turn creates a challenge in self-esteem, whole and complete, confident, or valiant, nearly 96% of the time. This is the sequence that got me up at 4 o'clock in the morning to write from 4 to 8 for 4 years. The book, Today I Begin a New Life, that's what drove it. That very sequence. It was so prevalent, so persistent, so consistent, and the damage that it was doing, so enormous. But I couldn't sleep. I was doing everything in my... You can hear the passion in my voice. This is what... Mm-hmm. If you want to know one of the primary drivers in my life, we're talking about it tonight. We're talking about the center of it, because the expectation has created mental creation. The frustration is experienced enjoying the journey, and the self-hatred is experienced in self-esteem. Because when it's not working, and our mind is so completely committed to it, there's only one reason why it's not happening. And it's us. And so we start questioning our worth and worthiness. We start playing back all the stories from our past of all the reasons why it's not happening. Start questioning our ability, our belief systems. Something is wrong with us, and we're in search of the answer for what's wrong with us. Because if I can fix me, this will happen. And the answer really is, as you started to go here, the answer is to learn how to use our mind constructively, not in fantasy, not in catastrophe, but to learn to use this enormously powerful gift, this fire hose that'll strip the bark off a tree. Use it constructively. Discipline, discipline, discipline to use it constructively so we can continually be igniting passion that drives action to intentionally create intangible reality, that which we've seen. Now, we can be dissatisfied and frustrated, impatient, but that's the sequence. Yes, somebody in the background was saying something. Please.
This is Ronnie in Louisiana.
Ronnie, how are you?
Fine.
Kelmes.
Yes. Enjoying the journey. You said the reason you would write for so many hours during the night, but yet we talked about persistent, that we chased the dollar. Now, in my measurements during the journey, the more you study this stuff, the more it becomes real. I'm enjoying the journey, grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm green, but persistent, I'm orange.
Mm-hmm.
All the others, I'm blue, except for diligent, I'm green. Now, it's interesting. I've heard your horror stories of what you went through.
Yep.
My color orange, and I've just learned this in the last few weeks, You know, my situation, change is very hard for me to change my situation, because when I was growing up as a young man, and I can see why this is orange, when I was growing up as a young man in our home, I remember my dad used to sign the notes for my older brother, and car notes and different finance notes. And I can remember people coming to our house wanting that money that my brother could not pay. And I can remember all this extra weight on our family. I can remember as a little boy thinking we were going to get put out in the streets if my dad couldn't pay the notes of my brother. And so in this orange, it makes no difference how much money I make. I don't think I've made enough. But I'm grateful for wherever I'm at. But it doesn't matter how much money I make. In my mind, I'm thinking, it's not enough. How can I change that orange?
Well, I love your question for a couple of reasons. You've taken us to a very precious area. If you'll work with me just for a moment, I think we can serve everybody on this phone. Go to self-esteem and tell me if there's any orange or red up in self-esteem.
In self-esteem, yes. Now, it's interesting. In self-esteem, whole and complete is red. It hasn't been red. In the beginning, it was blue, whole and complete. But it's red now. And that's been since last June. I need to take this assessment again.
Yep.
But whole and complete is red.
How about confident and valiant?
Green. Valiant's orange.
How about deliberate?
Green.
Unconditional?
Blue.
And valiant is orange.
And valiant is orange.
Okay. I want to talk about persistent from an area we have rarely discussed on one of our Tuesday night calls. And Ronnie, you gave me one of the key reasons why this shows up in some people's lives. Your father would sign notes for your brother, just using that example you gave us.
Yes.
And your financial stability, whether or not you're going to be out on the street or not, was determined by his ability to somehow get that handled.
Yeah.
And what can happen when it becomes such an integral part of our very being and existence is that we start to tie how well we do things and how much we get paid for it to our self-esteem.
Yeah.
It starts to become a measurement for our worth. So if someone doesn't acknowledge the fact that we did a really great job, and for those who don't know, Ronnie is one of the best tile artists around. Brilliant tile artist. Can I say it that way?
Yeah.
He's more than a craftsman for you. I mean, you are an artist with tile.
We also have
a network marketing business. But you're a tile artist. And for people to go, wow, because I know you put your heart into something so that they will just be blown away by it. And when they are, it feels so good. And when they honor you and pay you appropriately and on time, that means something to you too. The risk that you've got, especially with whole and complete being red, valiant, I'll talk about in a moment. One of the risks for all of us is that when persistence starts to go orange and red, we start to lean on what we're making as a determinant of our worth, which means, and Drummond, to your case, when we're talking about my business isn't quite where I'd like it to be, if we've got an expectation of where we might want it to be, when persistence starts to show up orange, we can really beat ourselves up in self-esteem. Because a source of our value is the money that we make. And if we've ever made a lot, and right now we're not, we've been hurt by this economy or whatever it might be, When persistent is orange, we're at a high risk to value ourselves based on our circumstances.
Now, Dave, Dave, I remember when you said you'd play football, you was football. And when that career ended, you had to find something else in your life. It's interesting, we learn these things, I don't ever forget them. A young man hurt his hand the other day, and I brought him to the doctor. Interesting he would do this. And his mother asked me if I would bring him to the doctor, and I did, and to get an x-ray. He wore his uniform in the morning to the doctor. After the doctor's appointment was over, he had to change back into his school clothes. And it dawned on me that the reason he wore his baseball uniform, hat, and everything to go get his hand x-ray, because that's who he was. He was the baseball player.
Yeah.
And here we are again, this persistent, whole and complete, yes, I'm tied to what a job I do. If I do a bad job, I have a bad day. Until I can find it, until I can discover reality, what's real, what's not real. So I can see how these measurements are so real and powerful when we take time to absorb them and use them and embrace them. But yes, I remember when you told us those things, when you lost the millions and you cried in the closet. Everything you was attached to that.
And yeah, so yeah, I was my watch. I was my car. Absolutely.
Yeah. I remember you said you would go on the way to work, you realize you left your Rolex home. You said you had to go back home to get it because you was your Rolex. When you went home teaching, someone would pick you up in a Chevrolet. You said, I wonder if they know what I have home in my garage. And so all this, the real, that my work has tied me to this area. And it just scares me to leave here because people call me that I did business with 20 years ago. They don't call me and say, what does it cost? They call me and says, we want it done. So you can see how you said chasing the dollar, that persistent, I can see why it's orange.
Well, I think we've gotten to one of the key, and thank you for taking us here, Ronnie, because I've been reflecting back at all the times we've talked about joy in the journey. I've done it a number of times with private clients, but I don't think in this group we've tied it to this really interesting piece that it can become one of the primary ways we find worth in ourselves. So if it's not working, if we're not getting the recognition, if we're not making the money, or we've lost the money, we're going to then devalue ourselves as a result.
But I'm making money. Last quarter, this quarter was good quarters. But still, it's not enough. Do you understand that?
Oh, I got it.
There's
that scarcity that there won't ever be enough. And what a great lesson for you, Ronnie, to say, well, maybe it's time, because I know you believe in God.
Yes.
To put your faith in Him and be enough. Be enough. Don't have your worth dependent on that. Do that for another reason other than finding worth. But let go of the scarcity. What a burden to take off your shoulders, to let go of generations, decades for you, of this from your childhood, and just lift it up and say, I'm not going to carry that anymore.
Wow.
I'm okay.
I'm humbled.
Thanks for going here, Ronnie. Anyone else that would like to ask a question about their measurements tonight?
It's Beverly.
Hi, Beverly.
Hi, I just wanted to thank, is it Ron or Ronnie, for bringing that up?
Ronnie,
because it kind of hit home and I'm sitting here crying, so I just want to thank him for bringing it out in the open. Thank you.
Were you able to hear that okay, Ronnie?
Yes.
Bless your heart, Beverly. Thanks for sharing that. That's very kind. Anyone else that would like to ask a question about these measurements?
Hi, Dave. It's Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. I'm asking about the joy in the journey, and you had talked about vigilant. So mine is green, but all the rest is red, and I'm not sure if that's how do you explain what's going on? Because when you described vigilant, it didn't sound like that was in line with where I was at. So I just wondered, what's the definition, or could you explain in that?
All the other measurements in Join the Journey are red for you.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay. Thanks for being so courageous to say that.
You bet. Well, we're here for help, right?
That's right.
Explaining.
Now, what's the left, Carolyn, what's the left-hand side of your assessment look like? Is there a lot of blue and green?
There is green in the first measurement connection, and the physical creation is orange, and then there's a mixture in the discipline and structure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just wanted to see, because sometimes we're really frustrated with our life currently, and one of the scary challenges, that's what it means when red enjoying the journey, when there's a lot of red, it's just like, I don't want this clay. David, isn't there a store where I can trade this in, can I have a do-over, a mulligan, something, I don't want this. And the more we don't want it, the more we resist what is, the more frustrating it can become. So I think the overall definition for you is to go, what is it that I'm frustrated about? What is it that's not happening the way I'd like it to? And do I put energy into taking the clay I have and begin the process of creating the most I can with it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I spend more of my energy frustrated with what is, wishing it were different, being in a little bit of resistance? We'll find that quite often we might be in a business that requires us to really be present and show up and serve people. And this is one of the great causes of procrastination, resisting the structure, the discipline that's necessary to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just naturally in resistance to what is real in our life. This is a real core personal piece of our dialogue. The only thing that's more personal than this is self-esteem, which is our dialogue about ourself,
mm-hmm.
how we value ourselves. This is how I'm valuing my life. How do I feel about how it's turning out? Now, just know, Carolyn, that I think you'll want... When's the last time you took an assessment?
A while ago.
I would go back in this week. And this is what I want you to do. Matter of fact, everybody that's getting ready to retake an assessment, go in and take it on this basis.
Okay.
I want you to go back in and rank these words or phrases based on where you would put them in a perfect world. If your world were perfect, relationships were great, finances were okay, business was soaring, where would you put these things? Where would you rank them? Because I think what's going to happen, Carolyn, is you're going to discover that a lot of that red is what I call situational. It's something you can rise above. You really can. Mm-hmm. It's not a habit of thinking that's destined you to all this terrible red.
Okay.
It's a situation that when you did this ranking the first time, you ranked it, and you were feeling pretty crummy about life, and so you just said the truth. I feel crummy about this. This is where this goes. Well, that may be true about the space we were in.
Okay.
But do we have the capacity to see above this? So if you'll rank it based on a perfect world, then look at your results, then you can see very specific places that even when I'm awake and alert, I may have a little pressure in this area. This is a more difficult one for me to see. And spend time on those. Don't get too mired in, because we can all have a situation in our life that just drags us down. And if we get stuck in that, and we could be there for weeks, give yourself the gift of rising above it and seeing the sunshine and ranking this based on the sunshine. It'll serve you so well to see a different color on your assessment.
It will.
I'm not broken. No, you're not broken at all. These are just thought processes. You were very honest when you answered the questions. Mm-hmm. And now do it based on a perfect world and take some of the pressure off so you can work on the real issues and not those that were situational. I'm repeating that several times because I just want to make sure the instructions are clear.
Yeah.
This helps us have an awareness, a new awareness of where we are in our life. So to say and go through those measurements, five red measurements, I don't think will serve you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to say when you took this assessment, you were going, ugh, about a few things in life?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, is it fair to say?
Dave, can I say something?
Sure.
This is Ronnie again. There's a couple quotes that you use, and it surely may help Carol. One of those quotes is, someone you are is waiting for your courage. The power to govern the abundance will be your active partner. You see, we have the courage if we use it. And another one of your quotes is, the very abundance we're seeking is right behind the very change that we're resisting. Not in the change, it's resistance to a change. You know, sometimes we don't know it's all right to be all right. We sometimes have to give ourselves permission to be all right. Well, I think that's something that she may be facing along with myself and many other people. We have to sometimes give ourselves permission. And when we have measurements like this and we embrace them, as Dave says, we use the clay we've been given and we're able to step into other people's worlds. We've been given them for a reason, not just for us, but to step in other people's worlds. And we help other people get what they want, we get what we want. That's all I had to say about that.
Well said. And Carol, and I could hear
you
chuckling in the background. I felt impressed to take you to one more space, Carolyn, but I want you to laugh about this with me, because there are some thought processes here that don't think this is very funny, what I'm about to share with you.
Okay.
But I want you to see it with humor tonight, because it will serve you, and it will serve all of us. Sometimes we get stuck in this, ugh, woe is me kind of a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do. I wrote in my blog post that was posted yesterday that we all have these days. I've been going through one that's taken all of my energy every day to stay in creation. I've managed to stay in creation, but Og says there'll be days when I must constantly struggle against forces that would tear me down. I know what he means by that. As private, I'll just leave it at that, but we all have those times. None of us are exempt from it. But here is a truth that I reminded myself last night, and I had a good laugh over it. I just hopefully you'll be able to have one too. And that is that when we start to get this heaviness about us, part of it we carry out into the world with us. They start to feel this heaviness. And there's a part of us, these thought processes, not us, not our true self, but these thought processes that don't want to let go and remind ourselves how good we are, as Ronnie said. We don't want to, because if we showed up happy, and we showed up excited, and we showed up fulfilled, how would anybody know how much we're suffering? How would they know? How would they know the time we spent, the sacrifices we're making? How would they know? How will you know that I got up at 3:00 this morning to write? Because I did.
Yeah.
How would you know that if I didn't tell you? I'm tired. I've had energy shots all day. You know, how would people know? And I reminded myself last night.
We'd have to change our part. We'd have to change our part from a victim. We'd have to change our part from a victim to a victor.
Well, the point, and the change comes when we're in this space and we're wallowing in it and we're feeling this anxiety, and the realization comes. And this is the realization.
Yeah.
We keep wanting people to appreciate what we're going through, and nobody cares.
That's right.
It's not that they don't want to.
No, they just can't.
All of their energy is being spent dragging their own crap around and holding up their own facade. They look okay. And because they look okay, we think they could give us more than they do. But they're giving us all they've got, and we're leaving them all drained when we're in that victim space. Now, I'm not saying you're in the victim space. I'm just saying this to everybody. Because I spoke it to myself last night. I was feeling like a victim. David, nobody cares. Get over it. The person who wins says, I'm having the best day of my life.
Okay. That's what I wanted
and
to
and speaks to these very thought processes, enjoying the journey, and said, whether you want to or not, I'm going to have the very best day of my life because I'm not focused on anyone appreciating me. I'm showing up totally available to appreciate them, not so that I can have a drained cup at the end of the day, because when their walls come down, their cooperation and productivity floods out to me.
Yeah.
I use intrinsic validation, agape love, as my greatest weapon, and none on whom I call can defend against this force. The fact that I love them and care about them is all that it takes to get this flood that fills my soul, and I would much rather get that pouring into my soul than getting dribbling drops from other people when I'm a victim.
Go ahead. I was going to say, does that victim thoughts eventually lighten? You know, when you're when you are appreciating someone else's journey, or I can only describe it as an example today. I was leaving a store. I saw a lady with a handicapped husband. She had all these bags of dirt she was going to put into her. Into her car. And so I stopped my cart. I went over and I said, can I lift those in there for you? And she was so appreciative because she was older and her husband said, well, I'm useless. I'm crippled now. I can't help. Put it all in the car for her and then took her cart back to the store. And the fellow watched me do this, this young guy. And he's like, oh, are you doing a good deed for the day? And I was happy and joyous when I went back to my car. I actually was on the verge of tears because I thought, I'm so grateful that I could help her. But I felt like he kind of stole my thunder by saying, oh, kind of like, you're doing a good deed, you know. I don't know. I just, all of a sudden, that whole, I went from being grateful that I could help someone in a split second to mentally going, yeah, well, if you knew that, you know, I could hardly lift that and I'm, you know, going to sit in the car for 5 minutes because I can't breathe. It was so much exertion.
Blah, 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 blah. You can hear it all coming up, can't you?
Yeah.
And you turn to the young man, you say, you bet. And go do one yourself, young man.
Yeah. I said, you bet.
I'm going to give you the phrase you want to say. When you climb in the car, this is what I want to have you say to yourself, Carolyn. Sorry to interrupt you, but I want to go right to the point.
Yeah.
You sit in the car and you say, that's like me. That's who I am.
That is who I am.
That's who I am. Own that.
But will those thoughts come better as you say that?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Instead of, you know, all the negative, it's, that's who I am. Just say, that's who I am.
That's who I, you just say that. That's who I am.
I am.
Okay. Can I share something really personal with you? I went to bed last night with a prayer on my heart. I'm trying to get an answer to a business question I'm working on. And it's just, golly, I have mentally rehearsed and it's not coming. I just keep getting inspirations to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock this morning I woke up. Now we went to sleep at 11:30.
Okay.
And I'm going, wide awake. And I've got an inspired idea on my mind. I've got a client writing a book. I was going to be meeting with her today. And I was told to get up and do the rewrite on this section of her book. And I thought, well, how about if I get up at 5 and do it? I'll have an hour before my first coaching session at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, you asked for an inspired idea. I just gave it to you. Do you want to listen or not? A little bit of that kind of dialogue.
Yeah.
So I got up, got dressed, came down here to the office, and 2.5 hours later, I had had a spiritual experience. I had tears streaming down my cheeks working on this book.
Yeah.
It's a book for children who have lost parents to cancer.
Wow.
Just children's storybook.
Yeah.
And I got this inspired idea of how to edit this section of the book, and I just finished it. And you know what? I reflected for a moment. There's no extra financial benefit for it at the time. And I just had that very... I don't know if I should even take everyone here, but Carolyn, because it's so important for you tonight, I will.
Yeah.
I sat here and I said, David, that's who you are.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what you do. And it changed everything.
Yeah.
To own that piece. Now, I could tell you the miracle that created later in the day.
Uh-huh.
The, yeah. It was worth thousands of dollars.
Oh, okay.
But there wasn't any of that in the when I woke up at 3, none of it.
Yeah.
The universe never misses what you did today.
Mm.
Never misses what you did today. You don't do it to hold it hostage or with strings attached. It's just who you are. Yeah. Abundance is not something. You've all read this in the book. You'll make sense now. Abundance is not something that we seek to receive. Abundance is not something we seek to win. Abundance is a sacred process in which we actively participate. That was today. And eventually become. These pieces are all tied together. And you do it because that's who you are. And when you start to own that piece, you spend more time with your true self. What happens to your self-esteem?
Yeah.
Not only that, but you've got a partner in the universe now as you're walking about. And when you say, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them.
Yeah.
Do you think that power will trust you with another person?
Yeah.
You darn better believe they will. And it gets more and more exciting. And it becomes just a precious, sacred way to live life. That you're in this abundance cycle. You put bread on the water, bread comes back. It's miraculous how it works. Now, we'll have moments that will test our faith in the whole process. There's no question. But for the most part, when we practice this, this is what happens. So continue being who you are. And don't let that dialogue or any young kid at a grocery store ever talk you out of who you are. Because that's who you are. You noticed. Was there anybody else in the vicinity when you noticed?
Yes. And
did those people had to leave the store like that, did they not?
Yeah.
Who noticed?
Yeah.
Say it. Say it.
Me, I noticed.
I did. That's the real Carolyn. The real Carolyn. The real Carolyn, noticed. Now, how many people noticed but didn't act?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously the guy.
Who acted?
Yeah, me. I know I acted. Me.
There's Carolyn. You noticed and you acted. Way to be.
Yeah.
Don't let any of those opportunities pass you. Every time you get that impression, act on it.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself connected to this. I call it being plugged into the planet.
Yeah.
Plug in.
Yeah.
Too many of us in this joy in the journey are frustrated with what is instead of living in it like you did today.
Yeah.
Too many of us are focused on the money. We miss the very service that opens up opportunities. Some of us are so busy and so preoccupied, we're not still enough to hear the prompting. Realistic, we're so focused with how to build the bridge to get there, we forget to see the very components with which we build a bridge. Diligent. We're so frustrated, we allow things to get in the way that rob us of the very opportunities you had. And vigilant will end with tonight. This has been a fun, I love this exercise when all of you participate. This is, I'll get off the phone tonight and I will be on cloud nine for an hour. It just, to be able to share with you principles that relate to you versus just droning on for an hour hoping I'm serving someone. What a difference. This is just so fun. Vigilant has us questioning the value of what we're doing when in fact we're going to want to serve where we stand. It's not what we're doing that matters, it's how we do it. It's how we do it. You cared about a person today. Wow. They felt valued because someone cared about them.
Yeah.
You felt valued because you had a sense of service and giving, which is just a great way of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Serve where you stand. It's more important what, how we do it than what we actually do. Now, I said that was the end, and we've gone 4 minutes over. I just want to mention one last piece. We have a tendency to want to have this part of reality, life, show up obstacle-free. Every time we hit one, we can get so frustrated that we get buried in our anger and resentment that we don't get to learn the lessons from it. We don't see the value in it. And, oh, what a tragedy, because we're given those opportunities to grow. I want to share with you, in closing, my Facebook post from today. I'm just pulling it up right now. We posted this on Og Mandino. If you're not on the Og Mandino Facebook page, go there and like the page. There's almost 16,000 people who like this. We have, this last week, we had 48,000 people on the site. It's just so exciting. This is what I wrote this morning. It's not original, it's just my take on it. We ask for strength, and we are given a challenge. For peace, and we are placed in the fire. For wealth, and are given labor. For health, and contract a fever. For love, and are hated by another. For joy, and are bathed in sorrow. We learn to be strong. Find peace. Create wealth, promote health, love unconditionally, and rejoice. Let us learn agape love in a very special way as applied to joy in the journey, that when we hit a wall, we are born anew, as Og says in Scroll 2, and we learn to love it, which means we step back from it and choose to learn from it, because it's there. And we can waste time on it, or we can just dive into it and say, wow, what can I learn from this? He says, the sun warms my bones, but the rain cleanses my soul, my spirit. I love the light, for it shows me the way, the darkness, for it shows me the stars. I endure sadness, for it opens my soul. Obstacles are my challenge. These things clean us. Our souls, they prepare us in extremely unique ways to serve other people. We get to bring all that we learn from these experiences to the service of another. So if we are on a mission to serve, to practice this abundance principle, we'll want to be the very best we can be, the most effective we can be, which requires us to have some challenges, to experience sorrow and pain and frustration, so we'll know what that person is experiencing. And many on this phone have an abundance of those experiences, which tells me you're abundantly prepared for this moment in time. What a blessing you've been given. Now, we generally don't look at those things as blessings. We go, it's not stacking up to my expectations. Let's look at this whole thing from a different perspective tonight. Let's leave this call embracing this clay and learning from it and taking it and creating the most we can with it, because that's where the joy comes. And we show up as you did, Carolyn, being our true self. And we start to have true joy. You sat in the car, torn a little bit by what the guy said, but at the same time, feeling that. Wow, what a precious moment in time. not unnoticed by the power that governs us all. Well, thanks, everybody. Thank you, Drummond and Ronnie and Beverly and Carolyn, for sharing tonight. It's made this a precious call. Let's come back next week ready to take on self-esteem, which is when we're having challenges here, we are going to say, what's wrong with me? Let's explore how that's showing up. And then we're going to start back with connection. And this time, we're going to go through this process and dig a little deeper so that we can, in every one of these steps, from connection, mental creation, physical creation, know that we are healing ourselves in this process. That's all we're doing. We're healing ourselves. And the more whole and complete we are, the more available we are to serve. The more we serve, the more our life is abundant. That's why Og called it a great secret. It's not where we often look. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll be back with you next Tuesday. Come off of mute and just say goodnight, if you would, please.
Thanks, Dave.
Good night, Dave. Good night.
Thanks, Dave.
Good night, Dave.
Good night, everyone. Good night, thank you so much.
Good night, Dave.
Goodbye.
Good night. Good night, John Boy.
Night, Ramona.
They say good night, Ramona. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.